Hillary wants to abolish, essentially abolish, the Second Amendment. By the way, and if she gets to pick her judges, nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But
happiness is a warm gun. Happiness is a warm gun, yes it is.
Well, that is the crazy right-wing mantra of I love my warm gun. I take it out of my cold, dead hands.
Wow.
I got to tell you, nothing... This election scares me because we keep seeing reports all across the country. In fact, I saw one from Florida with a bunch of yahoos holding signs, you know, the target signs with a bullseye on Hillary Clinton's face. And we've seen them for Obama, and we've seen this tactic of intimidation happen over the last several years. It just seems that it's getting more frequent. And I think that the people who are behind it, I think the people who are out there talking like this are actually, they've got themselves convinced that we're hitting go time. And I'll tell you, I've met a couple of people who go, yeah, hey, we're going to take the streets. Kind of scary stuff. So the question is this real? Is this something that the media is, kind of propping up to sell time? Or really, honestly and truthfully, are we seeing what could be the next civil war? And here to talk to us a little bit about his recent piece, I've asked Brian Tashman. He's the senior research analyst for the People for the American Way. His piece, With Trump, the Religious Right Returns to Its White Nationalist Roots. Brian, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
So I look at these, are you as worried as I am or concerned as I am about, you know, the increased number of kind of really over-the-top statements and over-the-top kind of signs and stuff, or do you think this is blown out of proportion?
Well, I'm certainly concerned about a lot of the rhetoric we've been hearing from the far right. It was even back in August when Roger Stone, who is one of Donald Trump's confidants and advisors, said that if there's a rigged election, there could be a bloodbath. And just today, former Congressman Joe Walsh, who's now a conservative talk show host, said that on November 9th, if Trump loses, I'm grabbing my musket. So this is the type of really extreme, if not borderline, outright violent rhetoric that we're hearing from the right. And Donald Trump, with the clip you just played about him talking about the Second Amendment folks fighting Hillary, is paving the way for this when he says that the election's rigged. If I lose, that means we're not a real democracy. There's no way to change the government. I mean, you have to be a genius to know what the next step is if you don't think there is a democratic path to create change or to have your voice heard. It is scary, especially considering after Kansas, you saw the three far-right activists who were arrested for plotting to kill refugees and attack a mosque the day after Election Day, and at least one of them was a vocal Trump supporter. It's really terrifying the type of rhetoric the GOP has been tolerating throughout this election.
Yeah, it's nuts, but you know, he said he was going to grab his musket. Really?
Right, as if he can just go right to his garage and find a musket. They're really playing out as if they're the founding fathers of today, and they certainly have a very high opinion of themselves as these revolutionary heroes, when really they're just people trying to disrupt the democracy that our founding fathers helped build.
Yeah, and what's frustrating to me, Brian, is they're doing it in the name of religion, doing it in the name of God. And I don't know if you've seen this chain email that I've gotten like 1,000 times from listeners, that, you know, a message for Christians about Donald Trump, and it's the rowboat story. You know, God sent a rowboat, and, you know, it wasn't, the person in the rowboat wasn't good enough, so you sent them away because you were waiting for God. And, you know, when you drowned, you went to God, why didn't you come save me? He goes, well, I sent you three rowboats, and you didn't, they were, none of them were good enough. That's why Donald should be president. And I'm going, really?
Right. No, I have seen that, and I really want to know, all these conservatives will make excuses for, you know, the fact Donald Trump has said things like, I've never asked God for forgiveness, or when he did the interview with Playboy magazine and he mocked Jesus as an egomaniac, and, you know, his long history of affairs and treating women horribly. But they say, oh, well, you know, this is God's tool, and that's fine. But you never hear them making the same claims about Democrats. If a Democrat said half of or a tenth of the things that Trump has, these same religious right movement adherents would jump all over their case. So I do find it somewhat amusing, but we know that they would never make the same case for a Democrat. It's only for Republican politicians who seem to be excused and pardoned.
And what's frustrating to me is, you know, the people that use religion to justify their hatred, to justify all kinds of stuff. I mean, this, you know, all of the insanity of wars and you know, creating the others. It just seems to me that there's a movement in this country. And you go back to Falwell and all of that stuff, you know, Ralph Reed and that whole mess. And it's really about, you know, anyone who doesn't look like us or believe exactly, precisely down to the absolute letter with the T's crossed and the I's dotted, they're all bad and they're all the enemy. And I think that's what we're seeing right before our very eyes, that rise of that very narrow thinking.
Oh, absolutely. The religious right always talks about how they are Christians who are being persecuted by the government, and that it's really a spiritual battle between the wicked and demonic forces of the government versus them, the upstanding Christians. And what's so funny is that they talk about religious liberty and freedom and that they just don't want to be oppressed. And no one wants oppression. No one's advocating for persecution. But the religious right leaders, so many of them spend time attacking not just religious minorities and their rights, but other Christians. If you're a Christian who votes Democratic, if you're a Christian who's gay or supports LGBT rights, they will quickly attack you, and yet they always cry persecution anytime anyone criticizes them. And I think that's why the religious right is losing so much support, is because they come across as these very, you know, so-called defenders of the family and traditional family values, but once they see Donald Trump, someone like him, as their ticket to increased political power, they're jumping on his train, and they're totally abandoning all of the things they said about the family and traditional marriage and morality that they use to lecture other people. But, you know, if you're gay, then the religious right will attack you and criticize you. If you're a Christian who votes Democratic, the religious right will attack you. But if you're Donald Trump, they will continue to praise you.
But here's the thing. I mean, and this is the great thing about religion, and one of my problems with the hyper, those who preach their hyper religiosity of, you know, pointing the finger but not forgetting that there are three pointing back. I look at their justification for Trump, and they use it on biblical terms, you know, because God sends, you know, the warrior and Trump's the warrior. And I'm going, really, did I miss something there? But there's always, you know, you could twist the Bible in any way possible to justify your insanity. And I look at some, it's almost turned into, and this is what scares me, because I do consider myself a Christian. I think they've taken faith almost to the cult status, to where, you know, if you're not exactly like us, it's out the door.
Well,
and I've said
a thousand times,
this is the thing that gets me. You hear these people, Brian, saying we're a Christian nation. And I say, once that's finally settled, the interesting fight will be which sect of Christianity will eventually win out, because eventually they're going to start shooting each other. And I look at this election, wow, we're not that far apart.
Well, there was a really example of the kind of thing you were talking about earlier with Texas pastor Robert Jeffress, who's a very famous Southern Baptist preacher. And he said, you know, I don't want a leader who turns the other cheek or follows the Sermon on the Mount. I want a warrior. I mean, he's saying, I don't want someone who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ as his leader. Can you imagine if a Democrat ever came out and said, I don't want someone who follows the teachings of Jesus Christ?
Oh, they'd crucify
him. That's what Robert Jeffress was saying to justify and defend Donald Trump. It's truly amazing. And the religious right, as I talked about in my piece, and how it's rooted in white nationalism, which made it much easier for them to get behind Donald Trump, as a lot of people think, they've always stood against other people of faith when they fought for progressive causes. So during the civil rights movement, there were humanists, and there were also a lot of Christians, Jews, particularly mainline Protestant Christians, Southern black Christians who are fighting for the civil rights movement. And it was the conservative evangelicals who were attacking them for misusing religion, because according to several of the religious right of the day in the mid-1900s, the Bible clearly says segregation is needed and required, and anyone who is against segregation clearly just hasn't read the Bible and doesn't know anything about biblical morality. So now we're hearing the same arguments almost verbatim when it comes to something like homosexuality. But the religious right has always been opposed to progressive Christians, progressive Jews, humanists, anyone who they think is trying to undermine their political agenda.
Right. What I always find interesting are those who are the most anti-gay turn out to be the ones that are themselves closeted gay.
There have been some cases about that.
I mean, there's a ton of them. My favorite being, you know, Pastor Ted Haggard, who, you know, spent a lot of time trying to pass legislation, basically making it illegal while he was sniffing crack off the backside of a male hooker. Just very, very bizarre to me.
I remember there was one case of one of the founders of the group Family Research Council, which is a huge religious right lobbyist group, who I think is still denies it, but who is traveling around with someone he got from rentboy.com. And he said, "Oh, well, I only had him to help me carry my luggage."
Okay. I don't know what package you wanted him to carry, but I'm sure it wasn't the luggage.
Yeah, you know, you always see these cases come up. And even it's truly amazing how there's no sense of self-reflection. I mean, after this election, I really am interested to see what the religious right has to say for itself after they threw out all of their supposed moral principles that made them so much better than everyone else, and that they get to lecture everyone else in the country about how to be a true family person and how to treat women after they have rallied behind Donald Trump.
It's truly mind-blowing and breathtaking all at the same time. So the question then becomes, when do the rest of us wake up to the reality that those who are the ones preaching and claiming how wonderful they are really part of our problem and not the solution?
Right, and that's what's so important about this election, is that we have such a clear difference in candidates, and it shows a lot about the Republicans who are sticking with Trump. Not just Paul Ryan, who, despite everything, is still supporting Donald Trump, but people in the movement, those who said, "Oh, we're fiscally responsible Republicans who are supporting Donald Trump, whose tax and spending plans would raise the deficit by trillions of dollars." I mean, you can't lecture us anymore about being fiscally responsible, much like with these social conservatives supporting a candidate who treats women horribly, who is mocked any standards of what you can consider a traditional marriage. Like, you can't lecture us anymore on gender and marriage issues. And if you support Donald Trump, you know, you can't just take the good. You have to take it all. And these conservative activists are going to really have to reconcile the fact that they forfeited so many of their true beliefs just for political power.
Yeah, and I think that's basically what it boils down to. It's about surrendering their beliefs for power. And I guess, isn't that a sin?
Well, it was, you know, one of the temptations of Christ was when, you know, giving it up for political, for power or for money. Those are two of the biggest temptations, power and money.
Yeah, it seems to be.
It's really telling how quick they, so many of these activists, not all, but the majority of social conservative activists, just discarded everything they used to say just so they can rally behind Donald Trump and get him elected.
Yeah, that and make a whole bunch of money, because I don't remember Jesus talking about the prosperity gospel, but yet I hear people preaching it all the time. Don't remember it growing up in Catholic school, but I guess it's very popular nowadays, especially with people
absolutely.
At Creflo.
Yeah, and a lot of those prosperity gospel teachers, they could honestly remind me of Donald Trump. they sell, you know, a big bill of goods, and that you're going to have, as Donald Trump says, every dream you've ever dreamed fulfilled. You're going to get so many job offers. All you have to do is support me. Or in the case of prosperity teachers, send money to my church. So there are a ton of similarities between them.
Just crazy, I think. Absolutely nuts. But Brian, I appreciate you taking a little time for us. Great talking with you. Great piece, and I suggest folks take a look at it. We've got a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can see Brian's piece with Trump. The religious right returns to its white nationalist roots. Just click on Brian's name. Take you right there. Again, thanks so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
Good talking with you. Let's take a quick break. Right back. 1-888-520-RICK. 1-888-520-7425. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Have the time.